we present Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter Wimsey in The Nine Tailors by Dorothy L. Sayers, adapted for radio by Alistair Beaton, with Peter Jones as Bunter, Timothy Bateson as Superintendent Blundell, and Philip Latham as the Reverend Theodore Venables. Episode 8, Nine Tailors Make a Man.
The public memory is a short one. The affair of the corpse in the country churchyard was succeeded, as the weeks rolled on, by so many bodies in blazing garages, manhunts for missing murderers, tragedies in West End flats, nude corpses in caves, and suicide pacts in lonely woods, that nobody gave the matter another thought. Except Superintendent Blundell and the obscure villagers of Fenchurch St. Paul, Party Peak, Jim Thurday, Will and Mary Thurday. They'd all been interrogated, but there was still insufficient evidence to feel certain that any of them killed Deacon. Nor had anyone even succeeded in establishing how the victim had died. Lord Peter Wimsey had determined that he would never go back to Fenchurch St. Paul. His memories of it were disquieting, and he felt that there were one or two people in the parish who would be better pleased if they never saw his face again. But when Theodore Venables, the rector of Fenchurch St. Paul, wrote to him and begged him to come and see them during the Christmas holidays, he felt bound to go. The deciding factor was that if Wimsey did not spend Christmas at Fenchurch, he would have no decent excuse for not spending it with his brother's family at Denver. And of all things in the world, a Christmas at Denver was most disagreeable to him. And so, Christmas Eve found Wimsey and Bunter making their way across country to Fenchurch St. Paul.
They seem, Bunter, to keep a special brand of disgusting weather in these parts. Last time it was snowing, and now it's pelting cats and dogs. There's a fate in it, Bunter.
Yes, my lord. A very inclement season, my lord.
Well, we must push on, push on. A merry heart goes all the way, You don't look very merry, Bunter, but then you are one of those sphinx-like people. I've never seen you look upset. Except perhaps when Emily dusted the fingerprints off that infernal beer bottle.
Yes, my lord. That hurt my pride very much, if I may say so. A very curious circumstance, that, my lord.
Pure accident, I think, though it had a suspicious appearance about it at the time. Whereabouts are we now?
Limpsey.
Yes, Limpsey. Limpsey, of course. Oh, we must cross over the Great Leam here by the old bank sluice. We must be just coming up to it. By Jove, there's a lot of water coming through there. Let's take a look, shall we? Tide coming up?
What? Oh, yes, sir. We asked to watch her now if we don't want to get the water across the course, But she don't rise very far, not without this an extraordinary high tide. We just have to do a bit of manipulation, like.
You see the idea, Bunter? If they shut this sluice, all the upland water has to go by the old Leam, which has enough to do as it is.
Yes, my lord.
But if they leave it open, and the tide's strong enough to carry the floodwater back with it through the sluice, they'll drown all the country above the sluice.
That's about it, sir. Yeah. And if the floodwater carries the tide back, we might drown you. All depends, you see.
Then we hope you'll manipulate things in our favour. Just hold our back for a bit till we get to Fenchurch St. Paul. There's a good fellow.
Oh, we'll keep our level. Don't you be afeard. There ain't nothing wrong with this sluice.
What about Van Laden's sluice?
I don't know about that, sir. Of course, they're getting a lot more water there now the new cut's been opened. I did hear as old Joe Massey down there was in a rare old state about them old gates of his. Three gentlemen went down there yesterday to look at them. From the conservancy or the board or something of that. But you can't do nothing for their gates in flood time. Maybe they'll all, maybe they won't. It's all according.
Well, that's jolly. Have you made your will, Bunter?
No, my lord.
Come on, I think we'd better go while the going's good. Besides, I'm rather looking forward to having tea at the rectory for old time's sake. Though if Mr. Venable's memory is the same as before, he may have entirely forgotten that we're arriving.
It's delightful to see you again, Lord Peter. Quite delightful. My wife has been eagerly looking forward to your visit, haven't you, Agnes?
Oh, dear me, yes. Now, Lord Peter, sit down and I shall get Emily to bring us some tea.
Thank you, Mrs. Venables.
You must be feeling rather chilled.
No, I'm fine, fine. Really, I am. I hope you are both keeping well.
Yes, we're quite well, thank you. Except for a slight cold that I'm suffering from. But it's nothing, really. What terrible weather, is it not? I hear they've got the floods out all over the Bedford level. We'll be skating on Berry Fen if we get any frosts after this. It doesn't look like it at present, though, does it? Well, they say a green winter makes a fat churchyard. But I always think extreme cold is really more trying for the old people.
I firmly intend, Padre, to have nothing to do with churchyards this time.
Oh, quite. It's a most distressing time for all concerned. Well, I was most relieved to hear that the Thodays had been cleared of suspicion.
Yes, that was rather a relief. Sometimes I wish Deacon's body had never come to light at all. It's caused a lot of misery.
And you still have no idea who killed him?
No, I'm afraid not. No idea at all. The mystery remains. How's the bell ringing going these days, Padre?
Oh, fine. We're trying some statements.
Ah.
Now, Will Thoday is ringing tonight. Now, I turned over in my mind what you told me, but I saw no reason for excluding him. I feel convinced that he committed no great sin, and it would arouse so much comment in the village if he left the ringers. Gossip, such a wicked thing, don't you think?
Oh, Theodore.
It must be time for our tea.
Theodore, oh dear.
Oh, goodness gracious. Whatever is the matter, Agnes?
There is a message just come down from Van Leyden's sluice. The sluice gates are going.
Great heavens.
It seems they've done what they can with the sandbags and beams. They think it will hold this tide, but it's likely to go the next tide because the wind is building up.
Oh, I've been afraid of this. I've warned the drainage authorities over and over again about those gates, but they would not listen. Ah, oh, well, no, it is no good crying over spilt milk. We must act quickly. If Van Leyden's sluice gives way, Lord Peter, you see what will happen. All the upper water will be turned back up the well and drown us, 10 feet deep or more. Oh, my poor parishioners. All those outlying farms and cottages.
What about the church, Padre? Will that be safe?
Oh, yes, the church will be safe, whatever happens. Well, unless we get a rise of over 12 feet, which is hardly likely. Now, first thing to do, ring the alarm. Everyone knows what that means, thank God. They learnt it during the war. Oh, I never thought I should thank God for the war, but he moves in a mysterious way. Now, Agnes, my dear, you'd better go and find Hinkins and tell him to fetch one of the other men and ring the alarm on Gowdy and Taylor Paul at once. Now, here are the keys of the church and the belfry.
Theodore, I think we should get the valuables and the parish records taken over to the church. If we put them in the tower, they're sure to be safe.
Yes, you're quite right, my dear. But I don't expect the house will be touched, but one can't be too careful.
Look, I'd like to be of help, Padre, if I can. Why don't I drive over to Van Leyden's sluice and see if I can give a hand? The longer we can hold the gates there, the longer you'll have to make your preparations.
Oh, yes, that would be most kind, Lord Peter. Perhaps you can stop in the village and get on the telephone to St. Peter and St. Stephen and make sure that they are prepared. We haven't a moment to lose.
Do you put them sandbags in place?
Right.
No, keep filling them. Don't reckon we can hold them much longer, my lord. We thought we'd hold it till the next tide, but I don't reckon as we can, really.
How much longer?
I don't know. An hour. Maybe two. Oh, I told him, didn't I? I warned him. What'll become of us now?
Can you hold it longer if we get additional men?
A regiment of men couldn't do nothing now. We got 6 gangs working on it now. As well as extra volunteers from the villages. We can't do a lot with all these here thousands of tons of water coming down. And there's more to come, so to say.
Well, you better be careful. It'll be very dangerous here when the gates give way.
We'll be all right, sir.
Well, there, Will Thoday's here as well. You better prepare to move to safer ground, Will.
Have you just come from Fenchurch, my lord?
Yes, I wanted to see if I could be of any help to you here.
My wife and children, are they safe?
Safe as houses, Will, don't you worry. The rector's doing wonders. He's preparing shelter for everybody in the church.
Ah, well, he's not got much longer before this water will be down on the village.
Yes, I know. Come on, let's get on with the sandbagging.
Wait on, my lord.
Give us another, my lord. Come on, move it.
Animals in the churchyard, please. In the churchyard only. Cats, rabbits and guinea pigs in baskets, please. We can't have them running around loose. Ah, there go the alarm bells. Good.
Theodore, we must get Harry Gotobed to rig a tackle over the church well for the drinking water.
Yes, you're quite right, my dear. But we must make sure that it is boiled. That is essential.
I've sent Emily to tell Mr. Henson.
Oh, yes, of course, the grocer I'd quite forgotten. Now, we may be stranded here for several days. Get him to move all his stores over to the church as rapidly as possible.
That's what I sent Emily to tell him.
Oh, good, good. Now, where's Harry? There you are, Harry.
Oh, you got all the stoves there, Rector. Take a bit to really get a roar in, but they'll be perfectly adequate soon enough.
And well done, Harry. Now, next thing to do, rope the church off into areas. One area for the school children, another for the sick and aged, one for all the furniture. Oh, yes, and then we must erect some cattle pens in the churchyard. Now, you better get some help on that, Harry.
Right, Rector. Don't you worry, we'll soon have everything under control.
Mr. Bunter? Mr. Bunter?
Mrs. Venables, I was just looking for you. I was about to suggest that I lend some assistance with the commissariat, if not required elsewhere.
Oh, yes, that would be most helpful.
I understand that the rectory is in no immediate danger, and I was about to suggest that, with the kind help of the butcher, a sufficiency of hot soup might be prepared in the washhouse copper and brought over to the church in the wheeled watering tub, after the utensil had been adequately scalded, of course. And if there were such a thing as a paraffin stove anywhere...
By all means. But do be careful with the paraffin. We do not want to escape the water to fall into the fire.
Certainly not.
Harry, I think we'd better send some more ringers up into the tower. Let them pull the bells as they like and fire them at intervals.
Ah, Rector, you seem to be firmly in control of the situation.
Oh, Superintendent, how good of you to come over so soon. I think if we act quickly, there need be no loss of life.
We certainly hope not, though I fear a lot of valuable property will be destroyed. Would you like me to send you over a constable to the church?
Better, I think, to patrol the roads between the villages. St. Peter is greatly alarmed. They're afraid for the bridges.
We're arranging a service of ferry boats for them. They lie lower than you do here, and I fear they're not as well prepared as you seem to be.
We can offer them shelter here. The church will hold nearly a thousand at a pinch, but they must bring what food they can. And the bedding, of course. Mrs. Venables is arranging it all.
Men, sleeping quarters on the cantori's side. Women and children on the decani side. And we can put the sick and aged in the rectory in greater comfort if all goes well. But if not, we must do our best for them too.
And if I may rely on you, Superintendent, to send us victuals by boat as soon as it can be arranged. The road should be clear between Limholt and the 30-foot, and the supplies can then be brought up from there by water.
Yeah, I'll organise a boat service from there as soon as I can.
If the railway embankment goes, you will have to see to St. Stephen as well.
Right you are, Rector.
Good day to you, Mrs. Giddings. Good day to you. As we're having quite an adventure, are we not?
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, I hear your husband's doing very good work down at the sluice. We must see that he doesn't come to any harm.
Right, now let's have another beam across this way.
I think we'd best be getting out of the way of them gates, my lord. Look.
Now, you're right. Where's Will Thodey? Will? We'll get the men out of here.
Everybody back!
Who's that man over there? Why doesn't he move? Hey, you there!
I don't reckon they can hear us with the rush of the water. She's given!
Get out of it, lads! Be alive!
Look out there!
He's fell in!
Johnny! It's Johnny Cross!
God help him! He won't come out of that alive!
Here, what are you doing?
I'm going in after him! No, don't, Will! Stop! You'll never get to him!
Oh, God, he's dived in! Out of my way! Out of my way there!
It's no good, my lord! There may be no point! Oh, you can't save him now! They both gone!
Who ended that? Johnny! Foley! Will Foley! Oh. They're both done for!
Stand your back, my lord!
Let go of me!
I want him, my lord! You stand back! We'll have no more lives lost! Save yourselves, man! Do them to no good!
God, the whole gate's going down! No, no. Run! Run like hell, men! Come on!
There was nothing any of us could do, Padre.
John Cross and Will Thodey. Oh, that's terrible. God rest them, poor brave fellows. Agnes, my dear, I think you should be the one to break the sad news to their people.
Oh, dear. Poor Mary Thodey. Fate has been so cruel to her. I shall tell her directly. And poor Mrs. Cross with three children. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Will Thodey died trying to rescue the other man.
Will went to try and rescue Johnny. That's just what I would have expected of him. A dear, good fellow in spite of everything.
Nine tailors make a man in Christ. His death at end in Adam yet began.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing. Nothing new.
Lord Peter, you're not looking very well. Please rest now for a little. Everything's under control here. All we can do now is wait and pray that the water will not come up as high as the church. Almost all my parishioners are here, and any we've missed will be certain to hear the bells.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you're right. The bells. I think I'll just go and see if I can relieve any of the ringers.
Well, if you insist, Lord Peter. If you insist.
I've been looking round, Theodore. I think everyone's here.
Oh, good, good. But we shall continue to ring the bells, my dear, for another few minutes or so, just in case there is still some poor soul left out there.
Ah, Harry, can I be of any help?
No, thank you, my lord. We're doing fine. Don't you worry about us.
Oh, very well. And if anybody wants a relief, don't hesitate to call me. I'll be up at the top of the belfry. I'll get the best possible view of the landscape from up there, and I can keep an eye on the approaching waters. The door is unlocked, I assume?
Yes, it is, my lord.
Splendid.
It's surprising, isn't it, how soft and mellow it sounds in here. But, of course, there's another floor between us and the Bellatrix.
Let the bells give tongue. Little Gaude, Silver Sabaoth, Strong John and Jericho, glad to believe, sweet...
I'll never forget the sound it made. It wasn't loud, but kind of terribly sweet and threatening. You think I'm lonely, but I tell you, that bell was alive.
It's a root, that is. They got eight of them hanging in the tower over there.
There's number nine a-coming, and that's a root to hang by. He's waiting for the nine tailors.
Oh, God. Oh, no. No. No.
That's better. I never thought I should feel relieved at having the bells silenced, but they really are extremely loud. And what we have to do next is...
Where's Lord Peter?
I think he went off to help the ringers. Harry, have you seen Lord Peter?
Yes, Rector. He went up the top of the tower, keeping an eye on the water.
Through the bell chamber? And while the peal was being run? Oh. Harry, come with me. Oh. My dear Lord Peter, whatever possessed you? It could have been most dangerous if one of the bells had struck you.
Oh, hello, Padre. Where? Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry about that.
Shall I fetch some brandy? You look extremely pale. Oh, your ears and nose are bleeding.
No, thank you. I'll be all right. Never realized the noise could be quite so terrible. It's like the roar of heavy artillery.
Perhaps shall I fetch the doctor? Now, I'm sure if you...
No, please, don't trouble. No, I assure you I'll be all right, Padre. Oh, stupid of me, but I have lived to tell the tale, and that's what matters. Besides, you have more important matters to attend to. No, I shall be all right, Padre. I'll be quite all right. Thank you.
Well, my lord, not a pleasant sight, is it? Nothing but ooze and weed as far as the eye can see. It'll take a deal of clearing up now that the flood's gone down. It doesn't smell too agreeable, neither.
Nonsense, Blundell. At South End, you'd call it ozone and pay a pound to sniff for it. Well, Padre, Fenchurch and Paul has lived through a lot in the last year. But at least we needn't look for a murderer now.
And what do you mean, Lord Peter?
Because the murderers of Jeff Deacon are hanging already. And a good deal higher than Haman.
Murderers? More than one? Well, who were they?
Gowdy, Sabaoth, John, Jericho, Jubilee, Dimity, Batty Thomas, and Taylor Paul.
The bells.
Yes, I ought to have guessed. I believe it's at St. Paul's Cathedral that it's said to be death to enter the bell chamber when a peal is being rung. I certainly know that if I'd stayed 10 minutes more in the tower that night when they rang the alarm, I should have been dead too. I don't know exactly what of, stroke, apoplexy, shock, anything you like. The sound of a trumpet laid flat the walls of Jericho, and the note of a fiddle will shatter a vessel of glass. I know that no human frame could bear the noise of the bells for more than 15 minutes. And Deacon was shut up there, roped and tied, for 9 interminable hours between the old year and the new.
My God.
You mean, Lord Peter, that it was our ringing the peal together that killed him?
I'm afraid so, Padre.
You said to me once you wished you'd killed Deacon yourself.
I did kill him, Blundell. Or rather, we all did. I, the rector here, and Hezekiah and all the other ringers. The noise must have been worse that night than it was when I experienced it. Think how the snow choked the louvres and kept the sound pent up in the tower. Jeff Deacon was a bad man, but when I think of the horror of his lonely and intolerable death agony...
There have always been legends about Betty Thomas. She has slain other men in the past. Hezekiah will tell you that the bells are said to be jealous of the presence of evil. Perhaps God speaks through those mouths of inarticulate metals. He is a righteous judge, strong and patient.
Well, seems as if we needn't take any more steps in this matter. The man's dead, and the fellow that put him up there's dead too, poor chap, and that's about all there is to it. I don't altogether understand about these bells, but I'll take your word for it, my lord. Matter of periods of vibration, I suppose. Yours seems the best solution, and I'll put it up to the chief constable. That's all there is to it. I'll wish you a good morning, gentlemen.
The voice of the bells of Fenchurch, St. Paul. Gaudé, Sabaoth, John, Jericho, Jubilee, Dimity, Batty Thomas and Taylor Paul. 9 tailors make a man in Christ. Is death at end? In Adam yet began.
In that episode of The Nine Tailors, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Whimsey, Ian Carmichael. Bunter, Peter Jones. Superintendent Blundell, Timothy Bateson. The Reverend Theodore Venables, Philip Latham. Mrs. Venables, Noel Dyson. Will Thoday, Keith Drinkle. Harry Gotobed, Alexander John. First Sluice Keeper and Villager, Michael Spice. Second Sluice Keeper, Peter Tuddenham. And narrator, John Westbrook. The Nine Tailors was adapted by Alistair Beaton from the book by Dorothy L. Sayers and was produced by Martin Fisher.